and welcome back to Maya's Reviews, a podcast and blog where I review books and movies of all types. I'm Maya, and thank you for joining me for another review today. So, today is a little bit exciting for me. Last episode, during my review of Padawan by Kirsten White, I mentioned that I wanted to start reviewing movies as well, just on the podcast for now, probably forever, but I mentioned my interest and how I was going to do that, hopefully by September, and my new schedule, all of that. And today is the day I'm going to attempt to review a movie, my first movie that I've ever reviewed officially, not just for funsies. It's on the podcast. It's a little nerve-wracking. It's very, very different from reviewing a book, and so we'll see how this goes. Bear with me. It'll probably be a little rough at first. I have a general idea of what I want to do, but we're just gonna go with the flow and see what happens. So basically how I think this is gonna work, we'll see. Maybe I'll change it around. But I am going to go into a spoiler-free review first. I'll go over all the things that I can, and then I'll give a warning, probably an ad break, we'll see. And then I'll go into spoilers, because it's kind of, I want this to be a little different than my book reviews in terms of actually discussing the movie in depth rather than how I discuss books kind of at surface level. They're usually pretty much all spoiler-free, my book reviews. So I want this to go a little bit differently, but we'll see. And I'll definitely give a spoiler warning for those of you who have not seen the movie yet. But this is what I'm gonna attempt. We'll see how it goes. Don't know how it's gonna work, but we're gonna try. Today, I will be reviewing Nope by Jordan Peele. Nope was directed by Jordan Peele and produced by Universal Pictures and Monkey Paw Productions, and it was released on July 22, 2022. It is a horror, thriller, sci-fi, mystery film and receives a 4.0 average rating on Letterboxd. It is rated R for obvious reasons. Horror movies nowadays are typically rated R because of violence, gore, things like that, and even just cursing can qualify for an R-rated movie. The movie is also 131 minutes long. The budget was $68 million, and it earned $98 million at the box office. The film stars Daniel Kaluuya as O.J. Haywood, Kiki Palmer as Emerald Haywood, Brendan Turia as Angel Torres, Steven Yeun as Ricky or Jupe Park, and Michael Wincott as Antlers Holst. The synopsis is, the residents of a lonely gulch in inland California bear witness to an uncanny and chilling discovery. Now, like I said, this portion will be a spoiler-free review, and then later on I will get into spoilers and more specifics of the film. Overall, I would say this is a pretty good movie. It was entertaining, and I feel the concept was executed well. But then again, I will say that I did find this movie a little underwhelming. This is the first movie by Jordan Peele that I have actually watched. He is the director of Get Out and Us, two very popular horror movies, which I plan to watch at some point in the near future. We'll see. Maybe I'll do a Jordan Peele week of movie reviews, but we'll see. The movie, I don't know. I saw this in theaters, and I'm finally going back to theaters after COVID and everything, a little nerve-wracking, but I was excited to go see this in theaters. I had heard great things about it, and I had heard great things about Jordan Peele. His name to me has been very synonymous with a good horror movie, so I was excited to go see this in theaters since it what is it, my second horror movie in theaters. My first horror movie in theaters was Men, which was an interesting experience if you have seen that movie. but I went in super excited, and I think I went in too excited because this is very different from what I hear. Nope is very different from Jordan Peele's other two movies, and each of his movies are very different from the other, just period. So, I think I was expecting, and it didn't have anything that it had to live up to, because I haven't seen Get Out or Us, but just by word of mouth and my Letterboxd friends, I had heard that his two other movies were good movies, so I went in really excited. And I was disappointed, but that doesn't mean it was a bad movie. It just wasn't what I expected. Even though it is a horror movie, it has a lot of horror elements. I would say it actually leans more towards a thriller or a sci-fi movie. Because while there is violence and there is some implied brutality that you see happen kind of off-screen, it's hard to describe. It has these horror elements, but it isn't as disturbing as horror movies typically are, if that makes sense. It was definitely an unsettling movie at times, but overall it was very science fiction to me, which isn't a bad thing. It just wasn't what I was expecting, so I was a tad little bit disappointed, because like I said, it's not very scary. It doesn't have to be scary to be a good movie. It just, like I said, wasn't what I expected. But in Nope, there was phenomenal acting. Kiki Palmer, Daniel Kaluuya. I apologize if I say anyone's names wrong. I am horrible at names. And Brandon Turia were, and even Steven Yeun was great at their roles. The characters had a lot of depth, and I became attached to them. I was worried for them throughout the entire film. There was a lot of tension, which I think was what made this movie so good, is that you didn't know what was going to happen. There's two storylines, I believe. One is a main one is kind of a side one, and they don't really connect. So it's an interesting thing to watch, because you're wondering what is happening with this one storyline, and then the other is the main one, so you're seeing more of that, but you're like, what's happening with this other one? So it's a very interesting, but it's very tension filled and I will say there were some very iconic and memorable scenes in this movie. I'll go more into the specifics later during the spoiler part of my review, but I went and saw this with my friend Gabby, and I was just turning to them every few minutes in the theater, just in shock. And I don't want to say awe, because it's kind of weird because it is a horror movie, but just disbelief at what I was seeing, because it was so unsettling and so nerve-wracking, which I think is a good thing, because when you're seeing, for me, a lot of the time, I watch movies at home, so I can pause them, right? Either on DVD or if I'm streaming them, I can pause them and I can step away. When you go to a movie theater, especially for a movie like this, it's very immersive, and sure, you can walk out of the theater, but you can't pause the movie, so you'll miss stuff, so you don't want to leave, right? So you sit there, and there's no stopping it. It just keeps coming at you, which I think is probably the best way to watch horror movies, because it's so immersive. And especially for this movie, I will say that I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as much as I did if I had waited till it was streaming and watched it at home. I think being in a movie theater with other people and feeling the tension in the room and the horror at some of these scenes, I think that is what really made it a fun movie for me to watch. But I do think that this is one of those movies where how you watch it and when you watch it and where you watch it really impacts your experience. Ignore the train in the background. but I really enjoyed this movie. So basically, in this movie, so this is still spoiler free, by the way. I'm not gonna ruin this, but in this movie, Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer are siblings, Emerald and OJ Haywood, and they help run a horse ranch, I believe, in California, and basically they supply horses for movies and commercials. Basically, they supply horses to Hollywood. And recently, unfortunately, their father passed away via metal object to the head that fell from the sky. And it's one of the first scenes, and it's a tad confusing until you watch the rest of the movie. And I will say, I think this is one thing that Jordan Peele does very well, is leave little tidbits along the way till you get the actual answer. And I think that really makes it thrilling and tension-filled and enjoyable as you're watching the movie. But basically, the siblings are contemplating the future of their ranch, and they start to notice some abnormal scenarios and objects. The power flickers out, and not just their power, but their phones too, which I don't know about you, but when my power goes out, and it goes out all the time because storms, your cell phone, your iPhone, your Samsung, whatever you have, your Android, that doesn't go out with the power. And so it's a tad weird. And naturally, you would assume that there's aliens. And so the the story follows them and their journey to trying to catch a shot to basically make it rich and sell this footage of what they believe to be a UFO to Oprah is their plan. Which, don't know if that's the best plan, but good for them. Good for them. Personally, if I spotted a UFO in the sky, or noticed strange happenings and thought it was, like, basically a ship full of aliens, I would have left. I would have gone and not come back. And I wouldn't have told anyone because they would have thought I was crazy. Like, why would I do that to myself? But you know what? Good for them. They did the damn thing. They wanted that money. But overall, like I said, the journey of OJ and Emerald was a very interesting one. It was definitely not what I expected. I expected something completely different. I don't even know. I don't think I watched the entire first trailer either, because I've heard the second one gives out a lot of info about the movie, which I prefer to know pretty much nothing about the movie before going and seeing it. That way I have no expectations. But like I said, I did for this one. And I had seen little clips of the trailer, I think around TikTok, on Twitter, just all over the place. And I was intrigued by it. This movie is definitely an interesting one because I did not know how to feel about it at first. I think walking out of the movie theater, I was kind of just iffy about it. I didn't know how I felt about it because I enjoyed it. But then again, like I said, I don't know if I would have enjoyed it in a different setting and watching it by myself. It might have been a little bit boring to me, and that's just me. But like I said, there were a lot of scenes in this movie that I really enjoyed and that are just stuck in my mind. Like, they will not leave, and I kind of want them to because they're horrific. But the movie features a lot of peaks and a lot of lows where the characters are kind of, they're going through a rough time. I mean, there's a UFO basically stalking the sky, and, you know, don't look up, you guys. Don't look at the sky. Don't look at clouds. Don't go sky watching. Don't go bird watching. Don't do anything because you'll see a UFO. The movie really peaked for me in the middle. I think after the middle, it was a little slow and a tad boring, I hate to say, but it was. The beginning was very tension-filled, and it was all built up to this big moment where you're like, holy crap, that was insane. And then after that is repetitive. Things didn't really make sense to me. I mean, actions of the characters, and I'll get into specifics later because it's very difficult to talk about the movie without talking about it. It was hard to see why certain characters made certain decisions, which really put me off and, like, took me out of the movie experience because I was like, that was kind of weird. Why'd you do that? But two, I think after the middle, it was a little bit of a letdown because you think it'll keep building, right? And it just didn't. It kind of fell off. And it didn't ruin the rest of the movie for me. But it definitely wasn't what I would have wanted to see in relation to the rest of the movie, not just my expectations. But I don't know. I didn't hate or love the ending, but I definitely really, really enjoyed the rest of the movie. And that's why I think this movie is definitely a 4 out of 5 stars. I wouldn't move it up anymore. I wouldn't move it down anymore. I don't think it's deserving of 3 stars, but I don't think it's deserving of 5 stars. So, you know what? 4 stars is a nice compromise. Overall, I enjoyed certain scenes, but I don't know if I would watch it again, per se. I don't know if it would keep my attention again. And I think part of that is because, like I said, where I watched it and how I watched it just added to the fear that I felt. Because there were parts of this that were scary to me, which is kind of funny because a lot of horror movies don't scare me. But there were some unsettling parts in here where I was like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. Please leave me alone. I think a huge part of that was watching it in the dark in a theater, surrounded by people who were also watching this movie. And I don't think watching it at home, even with other people, I don't think it would have been the same experience. And I don't think it would have been as good to me. But overall, I would say it is a 4 out of 5 star movie. I'm definitely intrigued now to know what Jordan Peele's other movies are like. I'll definitely be watching Get Out and Us soon, which I've heard a lot of people say are better. So I don't think this is a bad movie. It's not an excellent movie, but I definitely really enjoyed it. It was a fun experience to watch, and it's not like I would go back and be like, I would have never have watched that if I had the choice, right? I'm glad that I watched this. So I would definitely recommend it. And if you have watched Jordan Peele's other movies, don't know how you'll feel about it because I haven't. So I can't tell you how they are in comparison. But I definitely enjoyed this. So with that said, I'm going to go into spoilers now. I'm going to put an ad break about here, and then we'll go into spoilers. Just another fair warning. We're getting into spoilers. We're getting into things that if you have not seen the movie, will spoil the movie for you. So if you haven't watched it and you don't want the entire movie ruined for you, please stop listening and go watch it. It's a good movie. You should watch it without knowing anything. It's the best way to watch this book. Oh, can you tell I've done book reviews for 2 years? Yeah, this movie. So I'm just going to get into it. I'm going to use Wikipedia as my guide of all the events so I can talk about them in detail because when I was watching this movie, I wasn't watching it with it in mind that I was going to be reviewing it. And usually when I review a book, I have my written review that's already been posted on my blog or will be in front of me. And I use that as kind of the basis for my, it's basically a script. This time I'm going just off my brain. So it's a little rough, but Wikipedia has got my back. It's got my back. The movie starts off with a chimpanzee, which I did not know was going to be in the movie because, like I said, I had only seen bits and pieces of a trailer. Don't know which one it was, but it was basically OJ's character running and Emerald yelling at him and him riding a horse, and there's a bunch of the blow up dudes, and I was like, that looks like an interesting movie, let's go see it. And that's all I knew before going to see this. So the chimpanzee took me by surprise, and the chimp's name is Gordy, and he, are animal actors called actors? Don't know. But Gordy, there's a show called Gordy's Home, and it takes place, it's being filmed during the 90s, and you see this absolutely brutal scene. There is just, there's blood everywhere. There's a chimpanzee poking at some body that's partially hidden behind a couch, which is why earlier I said you kind of see the brutality on screen, but it's also off screen. So, like, you, it's, it peers away from it, but you see it happening, if that makes sense. And you find out later that Jupe, Ricky Jupe Park, is hiding under a table, and he's unharmed by the chimpanzee, who went crazy because they were filming a birthday special, I believe, and the balloons popped, and Gordy went crazy and just brutally killed three of Jupe's co-stars, which is horrific. And the chimp, you find out, eventually gets shot, but at the very beginning of the movie, all you see is that chimpanzee look dead at you. Because little do you know, you're in Jupe's point of view. And I'll tell you right now, I turned to my friend Gabby in the movie theater and I went, it just looked at us. I was genuinely scared. I was like, I don't like that. No, thank you. When I was younger, all of my friends can attest to this, I was scared of dogs, so, you know, I'm not really one with the animals. I do not get along. See, it's not that I don't get along, it's just the fact that they scare me because they're animals and they can do what they want, and it kind of terrifies me. So I just don't really, they just scare me. So I was thoroughly terrified at the very beginning, literally the very, very beginning. And then in the present day, you see that Otis Haywood, which is the dad of OJ and Emerald, is helping, I think they're putting the horses away because Otis was the one who owned their little horse ranch that provides horses for film and television productions, which eventually becomes OJ's, because Otis is killed by a nickel through his eye that falls from the sky. Which, I'm just saying, I would be so mad if I died that way. Like, I feel bad for the man, but I would be, I would haunt the sky. It would never know peace, because you're telling me I got killed by a nickel through the eye? Like, that's offensive. Also, that sounds like it really hurts. Like, I don't want to mess with that. But regardless, OJ and Emerald, or Em, inherit the ranch. And OJ tries to run the business. But obviously, he's, you know, they're sad. Their dad just died. But he's, you know, he's more focused on the business, while Em is seeking fame and fortune in Hollywood, because this does take place in California. And then you see that, I think it's 6 months after Otis dies, they're filming a commercial, right? And the cinematographer, Antlers Holst, probably saying his name wrong, who is played by Mike Wincott, is on the set, and that's how he's able to come onto the scene later. But one of the horses that gets freaked out on set, right? And so Em and OJ get fired, basically. And in order to make up the money, OJ sells the horse to grown-up Jupe, who was the one that witnessed Gordy's Little Rampage. And Jupe is played by Steven Yeun. Jupe now kind of, he runs this place called Jupiter's Claim, which is a tiny, honestly, like, old Western theme park. You know, your stereotypical Western town with a saloon and all that. But he exploits the massacre of Gordy's Home, which is the name of the show that Gordy went crazy on. He exploits it for profit, which is an interesting part of his character. OJ is trying to sell his horse, right? And M is like, whoa, you're this kid from all these movies. I remember you, you know, like, I watched these movies. Can I think she, does she ask for an autograph or a photo? I think she asked for something, right? And he's like, yeah, and I would usually charge you guys for this, but because you're such big fans, I'll show you my little shrine to the monkey that murdered my co-stars and left the other without a face, which is horrific. And he's like, you want to come see? And I honestly thought, because I think he mentions, like, they tried to bury those 7 minutes of footage where Gordy went crazy, but they never really could. And I turned to Gabby and I was like, does he have the footage? Is that what we're about to see? But you don't see it. It teases you, which I think I'll get into it later, because originally I had no idea what this movie meant. But then, after watching various, ignore Poppy, after watching various theory videos and reviews, I think I like the idea that this movie is kind of pointing out how we as humans like to see crazy things, even at the expense of others. And I think that is what this movie points at, but I'll get into it later, because you gotta have all the evidence first to support my claim. And so basically that night they go home after selling the horse, right? And they see a UFO shaped thing that has been eating their horses and actually is what killed Otis by raining quarters from the sky. And so these siblings, they both are like, you know what, might as well make money out of it, which I understand, but like I said, personally would never put myself in that situation. But they decide, you know, let's document this and get evidence of it, and then we can sell it and get rich and famous. And so they go to, I guess, like a Best Buy, right? I don't know what it was. It's some store that sells cameras. And that's where they meet Angel Torres, played by Brendan Turia. And he's like, you guys are kind of crazy. When the power goes out, the cameras don't also go out. You're a little cuckoo right now. Like, your phone doesn't just shut off because the power went out. Maybe a landline, but not your cell phone, right? That's what he's thinking. And so they set up these cameras all over the place so that if one goes out, the other will capture footage, right? But then the one that they need is covered by a praying mantis. And I'll tell you right now, I hate bugs. I was on vacation and there was a cicada or a grasshopper or something making some weird noises outside my door. And I was freaking out. Don't like bugs. And also, I would just be so mad if I was getting footage of a UFO and I'm risking my life and then it covers the footage. That's a little rude. But anyways, Angel, even though it's not his job to watch the cameras that he helped set up, he still watches them because he's interested, because he kind of figured out, oh, you guys are watching for UFOs, wig wig, haha, I got you. So he's watching and he's like talking to M through, I forget whether, does he call her? Probably. But he's like, there's a praying mantis, you gotta go take it off. And so Angel is just watching this, and M's running out there, and OJ is out there, I think, too. Is he on one of his horses? No, I think he's outside for whatever reason. I forget. Oh, yeah, he was putting away one of the horses that got out. And I was like, sorry, that horse would have been stuck out there and probably dead, because I am not risking my life to go put a horse back in its pen. I'm not, also, don't know horse terminology. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But through this footage, even though the praying mantis is covering it, they see a cloud that never moves. And they assume, I think rightfully, it's kind of smart, that the UFO hides in this cloud, which is why I said no cloud watching anymore. But you basically find out that when you look at this UFO, supposedly, which turns out to actually be an alien itself, because, sorry, but UFOs don't, like, eat people, so, you know. When you look at this alien, it senses you or something, and it comes and tries to eat you, which is, like, I get it. Maybe the alien hasn't done its makeup that day or its hair, but you don't gotta eat people. And so basically, one of, besides all the monkey scenes, because I will say this right now, all the things with Gordy, which is almost completely separate from the main storyline of the alien, except for giving off the same message. Personally, I felt more unsettled and more interested, not interested, that's the wrong word, because I was interested in the main story too, but I was more intrigued by Gordy's scenes. And I think because it was so unsettling, whereas the main story wasn't really that terrifying, that's kind of what I gravitated towards, because I was going into the movie theater thinking like, oh, I'm gonna be scared because this is a horror movie, right? But like I said, it's more sci-fi because of the UFO alien aspects. So I did find the little side story more terrifying, but I will say right now that this, what I'm about to talk about next, is one of the scenes that is just stuck in my mind. It is an insane scene, and it is so haunting, because he has a live show at Jupiter's Claim where he talks about luring out the UFO or alien for an audience that also happens to have, I think her name is Mary Jo, who was his co-worker or co-star on Gordy's Home, who was brutally attacked by Gordy but managed to survive, but she was left disfigured. And I felt so bad for her, because what happens next is just, I would be so mad if I survived a monkey attack. And then I go to see, like, haha, yeah, okay, Jupe, I'm gonna go see you lure out a UFO. And then that UFO eats me. Oh, I would be so incredibly mad. There would be no place that UFO could hide, because I would haunt the crap out of it. I would be so mad. That is just so unfortunate. But basically, right, he's gonna feed the horse that OJ sold to him to this UFO, which, first of all, don't know where you knew about the UFO from, and I don't remember whether it ever explains that, but it's like, where did you find out about this? They're all looking at the sky, and obviously they're not expecting a real UFO. Who expects a real UFO when you go to an alien show, right? Not that I've been to one. I don't even know if there is alien shows, but the UFO, the alien, comes out of the sky and eats everyone, and it's basically like a huge vacuum, I guess, where it just sucks everyone up, and you can see their shadows flying through the sky into this alien. And then it looks like, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's kind of like, you know when you go to some organized event and there's the little bouncy houses that you race through, and there's the big standing air-filled poles that are kind of, that you bump into them, but you gotta race through them. It's kind of like if it was that, but you were inside one of those poles. It's they basically are being digested inside of this alien, and you can hear it happening. It is so absolutely disgusting and just, and I'm laughing right now because I'm uncomfortable, but it was a great scene to have in this movie, but it was so uncomfortable and so claustrophobic. I was literally just, my eyes were glued to the screen and I could not look away. I think that scene is one of the best and most memorable scenes in this movie, besides it raining blood after it eats all the people, because OJ wanted to lure it, right? So he set out a fake horse, which I think in return Jupe's kids pranked him, which that scene literally had nothing to do. It had no effect on the story at all. It was a fake prank, but I was so scared that scene. I was terrified, and it was just three little kids pranking a grown man, so you know. But that horse, that fake, I think it was a metal horse, was fed to it and then ate all those people, and now it's hurt, and so it just rains blood on the ranch that OJ and M own, and M and Angel are inside, but OJ is just driving up to this house, and I would not have the balls to drive up to a house that is raining blood over it. Goodbye. I don't need to put myself in that situation, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So, nope. No thanks. After all this, right, because OJ went to the, what is it called, Jupiter's claim, and he sees the aftermath. The horse is still there because it never looked at the alien, but all the people are gone, and I think he then realizes it'll eat anything that looks at it, and so he thinks now, well, if I look at it, I can lure it and I can capture footage of it. So he reaches out to that cinematographer from earlier, Anders Holst, I believe. The dude initially refuses. He's like, nah, not gonna do it. But then news about the missing people from Jupiter's claim spreads, and he's like, maybe I will do it, which would make me want to not do it even more. But you know what? He wants UFO footage. And so now he brings a hand-cranked camera to capture footage of this UFO. And I'll say now, after the blood rained over the house is where it kind of fell off for me. And it wasn't, there was nothing else after that that was really memorable or not exciting, but not terrifying. There was nothing after that that was tension-filled, because I could kind of see things happening now. Like, I knew, you know, this guy's probably gonna die because he's a little woohoo in the head, and that's exactly what he did. Holst, basically, he gets footage of this alien because some random TMZ reporter goes onto the field and he's thrown from his motorcycle because it shuts down because of the alien, remember, because it shuts down anything electric, and he goes flying, and he just breaks all, like, his bones are broken, and he looks at the alien, because what else is he supposed to do, and he gets eaten, and Holst and Angel are capturing footage of this, and OJ's kind of out there, supposed to be luring it, but the TMZ dude kind of did that for them, and Holst chooses to be eaten, which this is where too, where I think too much stuff was happening and it wasn't interesting enough to keep my attention, because the TMZ dude just shows up all of a sudden and you're like, who are you? Why are you here? And he just dies right after that, introduces a new character and gets killed off, right? And then Holst gets the footage that he's wanted all along, and then he's like, we shouldn't have this footage. So he goes up to the alien and lets himself get eaten, and I'm like, where was this switch? I didn't, what? And then Angel almost dies. Like, everything just gets crazy, and Angel actually, like, gets tethered by barbed wire, and that's the only reason he survived. And I was like, that is so, that would hurt so bad. But then there's this huge standoff where it tries to eat M, but then OJ looks at it, so then it tries to eat OJ, but then M looks at it again, so it tries to eat M, and then OJ looks at it and tries to eat OJ, and it's, like, back and forth, and I'm like, okay, it's gotta eat someone, so I just eat someone. And so then M finally moves and goes on the motorcycle that the TMZ guy was riding, and she goes to Jupiter's claim, where she lets loose this big balloon mascot dude, which has eyes, which is important because it looks at the alien, right? Which, don't know how that works, but whatever. And it lures the alien, at which point M is using this well that takes pictures to try and take a picture of this alien in the sky, which is what the entire point of the movie is, right? And then the alien eats the balloon, and then it explodes, which I'm like, how did a balloon kill it, but a metal horse didn't? Don't know how that works, but, you know, it's fine. And then she gets proof. She gets a picture. She gets a perfect picture of this alien. And then she leaves it right where it spits out while reporters are assembling at the entrance of this little theme park, right? Because OJ survives. So she's like, OJ, I'm so glad you survived. Which, yeah. But get that photo. Like, what are you doing? I don't know. So that is basically all that happened in the movie. And like I said, the first, I'd say like 2/3 of the movie were phenomenal. I really love them. But then it really, really dropped off during the last third of the movie. And I think it was just because it had built up so much tension, and then there wasn't any of that anymore. I feel like there should have been some huge thing at the end, and I don't know what that would have been. I don't know what it would have looked like, because I am not Jordan Peele. But I'm, for me, it would have made more sense, and I would have been more excited had something bigger than both of those, than it eating all those people and raining blood, something bigger than that had happened. And like I said, it kind of just was all, not all over the place, because it still was following the plot, but it was very sped up to the point where a lot of things were happening, but it felt like nothing was happening. So then it was just kind of, it wasn't boring, but it wasn't interesting, which is why I didn't really like the ending of the movie. Because besides that, the fact that the alien was defeated by a large balloon was was underwhelming. And I felt like there could have been some better way to destroy it or kill it or something, or it would have been better if it wasn't destroyed and they didn't get that shot, because that would have made more sense too for the cinematographer guy who dies, because he's like, we shouldn't have the shot, and he just dies. It would have made more sense had they not have gotten the shot, because then that would have added more meaning, like, oh, maybe he was right, but they got the shot, so it's like, well, what was all this for then? And like I said, I think too, it was a tad frustrating how Jupe dies, but there was his whole backstory is an entirely separate plot line, and so I'm sure if I looked more into it, it would make more sense to me, but it was a tad confusing. I've said tad like 5 million times. I don't know why today is the day I decided to use that word forever and always, but you're welcome, you guys. But like I said, the last third of the movie was a little confusing and not as exciting as the first two thirds, and I think that's what dropped it from 5 stars to 4 stars for me, because if it had stayed the same kind of formatting or tension filled as it was near the beginning and middle, this would have been a 5-star movie. And like I said, I enjoyed this movie a lot, but that last third was really difficult to get through. And like I said, I don't know if I would have finished. I don't know if it would have been the same had I watched it at home, because I couldn't pause the movie and walk away in the theater. But at home, maybe I would have paused and been like, I'll finish this another day, because I couldn't get through it. Who knows? But I did really enjoy it, and I think the concept was there. I just think the very ending was a little lackluster. And so now I'm going to get into the different interpretations that I have heard, because like I said, I walked out of that movie theater at the very end of this movie thinking, what did I just watch? Like, what did all that mean? Because I didn't know what it all meant. And the most popular thing that I've seen has been how Hollywood uses people and spits them out, right? Kind of like the horses are used for the commercials and the film and everything like that, and then Gordy is used, and then the alien is used, right? I think there's also a tinge of, not animal abuse, but animal cruelty in there, where we shouldn't be using animals for our entertainment, right? And then there's what I mentioned earlier, where we, as people, have a morbid curiosity, and we like seeing dark things. We like seeing things happen to other people. Not that we like it, but we're intrigued by it. And I don't know whether Jordan Peele is commenting on whether that's right or wrong, but I think there's many different things that point to exploitation in this film of animals and people and tragic events. I think all of that kind of combines somehow. Not sure how, because I am not that smart, but I do think the message here is really good. And it's not super obvious, so that you really have to think about it. This is a really good movie to help you think about things, which I really enjoyed. I think a lot of the movies that I like aren't very straightforward. I like the imagery. I like the metaphors, right? I like all of the movies or shows or books that make me think hard about what I'm reading, because then it's more meaningful in a way, right? So I definitely enjoyed this movie. Like I said, there were a lot of good things, but then there were some things that made me not so sure about this movie. So I really, really enjoyed it. And if you made it this far, hopefully you haven't watched the movie yet. What are you doing here? But I really enjoyed this movie, and I think if you haven't seen it, which, like I said, don't know why you're here, but you should see it, because it was a good movie. And while it wasn't, some of it didn't work for me, I think for people who gravitate more towards sci-fi, but like horror as well, would really, really enjoy this movie. I think what made it less exciting for me was the fact that I went into this thinking like, oh, I'm gonna go see a horror movie, when it was more kind of a mix of genres. And then the ending too, like I said, fell a little flat. But besides that, excellent movie. And I will definitely be checking out the rest of Jordan Peele's films, because I've heard those are excellent as well. So that is the end of my review of Nope, directed by Jordan Peele. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please stick around for newer episodes, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. Also, check out my blog, Maya's Reviews, at mayagreviews.wordpress.com, where I review all types of novels. You can also find me at Maya the Bookworm on Twitter, Goodreads, BookBub, and BookSirens. I'm also on Tumblr at Maya Reviews. I do review novels on my podcast and blog. So if you want me to review your book or want to come on the podcast to discuss a novel, maybe even just reach out to me, you can email me at mayagbookreviews@gmail.com. I do ask that if you are reaching out in regards to a review request, interview, collab, blog tour, or anything publicity related, that you check out my publicity request page on my blog first and then email me. Thank you so much for listening, and gosh, I can't say happy reading right now. panicking. Go watch Nope.